This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1.
I've tried everything that I could in my life for this world.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green, Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
If I have to go by myself, I'll go. If I have to go by myself, if my mother, my father, my sister, oh, my brother, I'll go if I have to go by myself. I'll sing if I have to sing by myself. I'll sing if I have to, by myself. My mother, my father, my sister, my brother, I'll sing if I have to sing by myself. I'll pray if I have to by myself. I'll pray if I have to by myself. If my mother, my father, my sister, or my brother, I'll pray if I have to by myself. I'll go if I have to go by myself. I'll go if I have to by myself. If my mother, my father, my sister, or my brother, I'll go if I have to by myself. Send me
out.
Send me
out.
Sometimes I get lonely. Sometimes I get nervous. If you want me to sing for you, Lord, I do what you want me to do. I'll sing for you, Lord. Just send me.
Send me out, Lord.
Just send me. Sometimes I'm lonely. Sometimes I'm lonely. Sometimes I'm nervous. But if the Lord
send me,
I'll go.
Send me, I'll go.
I'll go
if I.
I'll go if I have to go.
I'll go
if I have to go
by myself.
We are willing to go. Father, now as we stand this morning, give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding of your word. Speak to me and through me, that your word will go forth. We leave better exiting than we did when we came, because we've heard from you. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. Last couple of weeks, we have been talking about, can you help a brother out?
Yes, yeah.
Talking about the love and care and concern that we should have for one another. As we conclude these series of messages on love, we conclude with the greatest of all love that has been expressed. John 3:16. Let us stand. John 3:16. Very familiar passage of scripture that we've been quoting in Sunday school all of our lives. Very briefly this morning, we will touch on this loving subject. John 3:16. For God so loved, that's good enough, you may be seated.
All right. God bless you.
I want to talk about God's love. Thank you, Ursus. God's love. What is love? Love is a popular word in the English language. Perhaps its popularity has led us to its overuse and loss of meaning. What do we mean when we say love makes the world goes round? All we need is love. Love is a splendid thing. But when you really look at love, love is an abstract term that must be demonstrated in order to be understood. It's one thing to say you love me when your action shows you hate me. And one thing about God, when he tells us he loves us, he shows us by his actions. Because it takes a powerful love to put up with us. Slow down as we are. Good for nothing as we are. And he still loves us. Some of us are here in the house and in his presence and got other things on our mind. But he still loves you. Isn't it a good thing to know that a God that powerful, who can speak, man can lay down and die, who can speak and man can live again, has a great, strong, unbreakable, passionate love concerning you? He loves you so much that even when we've done things that he was displeased with, he spanked us and hugged us at the same time. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he stated that love bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endures all things. And he concludes with the powerful word that love never ends. You just, love is not controlled by a knob that you can turn on and off. Of course, someone could get angry with you and say, I don't love you anymore. Their lips are saying one thing, but their heart is saying something else. The text that is before us, there's some nuggets here as we look at God's love. You might want to write some of these down, because when we look at the text, it opens up by saying, for God. So what we have first is the greatest lover. I don't care how your boo loves you, there will never be a lover like God. I wish I had somebody to testify. God is the greatest lover. Jeremiah 31:3 said, the Lord hath appeared unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. But then 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. And let me tell you how I know he is the greatest lover. Because God loves you so much, he takes care of you. Even when you fail to take care of yourself, he still takes care of you. How you know, preacher, that he is the greatest lover? Because when I didn't love him, he loved me in spite of. When I got so drunk and didn't know how I got home, it was God's love that I wish I had somebody to testify. He is the greatest lover. He loves you. And not only does he just say he loves you, but he shows. What you mean, preacher? How is he the greatest lover? Because the lover put clothes on your back. The lover watched over you while you slept and slumbered. The lover put food on your table. The lover put shoes on your feet. The lover put joy in your heart. And if you love him the way he loves you, then you ought to tell somebody, I love him. And if I got to say it in my hands, I love him. If I got to stand up on my feet and tell the world, I love him. I love him because he first loved me. There is no lover like God. Sisterhood, you might love your husband, but when things go bump in the night, you may elbow him and he's too sleepy to wake up, but the true lover never sleeps, nor does he slumber. That means when the hubby won't wake up, God is already up taking care. I wish I had somebody to take care of. And one thing, God don't have to put a ring on it to show you that he loves you. He just loves you unconditionally with an agape love. Even if you don't love him back, he still loves you. He is the greatest lover for God. Then the text says, for God so loved the world. Not only do you have the greatest lover, but now you have the greatest object of his love. The Bible says that he so loved the world. 1 John 4:8 said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. My brothers and sisters, Romans 8:38-39 said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, no height, no depth, any creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God. Look at the greatest object of his love. He loved the world that didn't love him. He loved the world that he created, and the creation turned their backs on him. Oh, y'all didn't get what I'm saying. He created them to praise him, but they start praising idols that they can see and feel, and he still loved them. Oh, I'm in the still love them group. The things that I've done, no, God wasn't pleased, but he still loved me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And don't you sit there with your sanctimonious self. Take off your holy halo and know that you ain't always been where you are. You ain't always been this close to God. I'm not talking about the aftermath of conversion. You have done some things that made God's face frown, but he still loved you. Anybody ever had a hug from God? Anybody ever felt the presence of God, even in the midst of your controversy? He still loved you, the object of his love.
Thank you, God.
From Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, to Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, there was a 400-year gap that God did not speak to man at all. Not because he didn't love man. He didn't speak to man because the heart of God was hurt. Man had turned their back on him. Anytime that was that much sin, a sacrifice had to be given. And he searched the heavens and the graves, and nobody was worthy to take man's bond. But then, under the foundation of heaven, there was a voice saying, Father, prepare me a body. Give me a 33-year tenure, and I'll go down and I'll sacrifice my life for them. If you need blood to be shed to put man's hand back into your hands, then I'll shed my blood. He so loved the world. You got the greatest lover, the greatest object of his love, but then you have the greatest gift from his love. He so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. The word begotten means unique. That they has not been separated. Never, ever, never. And the only time that they were to be separated for you and me. God so loved the world. Now, there's not going to be a lot of shouting on this one. Because when you love something, you give to it. Oh, yeah. You got that? Oh, yeah, he's the greatest lover. Oh, yeah, he's the greatest lover. But look, his love had him to give. I find it strange. You say you love God and won't give to him. I told y'all you wasn't going to shout too much on him. Put it in the envelope. Give it to him because you love him. He gave his only. He didn't give you leftovers. He didn't give you a Noah that had been talked about. He didn't give you an Abraham that lied. He didn't give you a Samson that napped on the wrong lap. But he gave you his very best. He gave you himself wrapped in human flesh. And anyways, John 15:13 says, greater love have no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. But I like Romans 5:8. But God commended his love toward us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the translation is, while we were yet sinning, Christ died for us. Christ's death was so significant. Hear me good. I shared this with the Bible study students. Christ's death was so significant that at the point of his death, nothing on earth died at the same time he died. Not a creature, not a bird, not another human being died at the same time he died. He died all by himself. He gave his only begotten son. And my brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I'm glad Jesus came. I'm glad he went to the cross. And I'm glad that on the third day morning, he got up with all power. Are you glad that he got up? Terry Anderson said like this, didn't he die? Do you know that he really died for your sins and my sin? But the Bible didn't say y'all have sin. The Bible said all have sin. And he so loved the world that he gave the greatest gift. He gave his only begotten son. And then watch, not only have the greatest lover, the greatest object of his love, and the greatest gift from his love, but then you have the greatest promise from his love. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. Y'all ready? Jesus says this, that I am the resurrection, that I am the life. Whosoever believeth in me, though he was dead, yet shall he live again. And my brothers and sisters, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God have raised him from the dead, then shall ye be saved. Don't let nobody question your salvation. You got to know for yourself that you are saved. And once you confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are sealed with the seal from here to all eternity. Even if you backslap, even if you slip up, the blood washes a multitude of sins. How many can say, I thank God I'm under the blood? I thank God that when I repent daily, the blood washes me, the blood cleanses me. Get away from this foolishness hollering about you can lose your salvation. How you gonna lose what don't belong to you? Be saved is a gift from God. You are saved by the grace of God. And when you are saved, you are sealed with that seal. And that, as I explained it to you once before, is just like two farmers owning cattle. And when each one purchased that cattle, they brand them. And my cattle may stray in Brother West's field, but he can't claim it because he got my seal on it. He can only look at it, but he got to return it to me. Y'all get what I'm saying? Just because you're saved, you're going to stray in the wrong field every now and then. But Satan can't claim you because you got a seal from God on you. And I wish somebody can just praise God and tell them that I'm sealed. I'm not perfect, but I'm sealed. I have slip-ups, but I'm sealed. People done lied on me, and I done lied on them, but that's okay. I'm sealed. My brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I'm happy. I'm happy about the greatest lover, the greatest object of his love, the greatest gift from his love, the greatest promise from his love. And when I woke up this morning, I say when I woke up this morning,
Am I the only one happy that I woke up this morning? Well, Tiger, maybe they're not getting it. Because I know I have to reach everybody in the message. And to say he woke me up this morning is maybe not sophisticated enough for some of the educators. So let me talk on their language for a minute, and I'm going to come back to y'all. Y'all sit down. Let me talk on their language for a minute. Bright and early this morning, sound waves emanated from the alarm clock, penetrated the auditorium canals of my eardrums, tapped my eardrums and touched my nerve endings, sending neurons 100 miles a second to the association cortex of my brain and told me to get up. Now, y'all ought to be shouting out. But us who just wanted in labor's term, he woke me up this morning. Can I say it again? He woke me up this morning, and I'm glad about it. Somebody ought to be in here shouting right now, because he loved me just as I am. I may not be all that I want to be, but can I just get borrowed something from my grandmother and mama? I came to Jesus just like I was. I was weary, wounded, and sad, but I found in him. God bless you. I found in him a sweet old resting place. He has made me glad. Doors of the church are open. I know the greatest lover, the greatest object of his love, the greatest gift from his love, the greatest promise from his love. It's all wrapped up in John 3:16. So over 2,000 years ago, Jesus really helped the brother out when he died on the cross. And don't you know, when he died on the cross and went in the grave, he could have ended it there, but he didn't. He ascended to heaven, sat on the right hand of the Father, and he makes intercessions for you and for me. If you're here this morning, you ought to come. If you're here this morning, you ought to come. Come on. If you're here this morning, why don't you come? While the blood is running warm in your veins, he died that you may have a right to the tree of life. He loves us that much. He loves you just as you are. And music in my ears. Why don't you come? The sweetest name. These deacon and deaconess, they are here, ready, willing, and able to walk with you. Come on, church, sing them. How I love you. Come on, come on. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because he first. This is our last appeal. If you're here this morning, don't fight it any longer. Come to Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. The Holy Spirit, he's